What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 288 of the PS4 Blockcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Miss Zayat.
Hello.
And Izzy will not be joining us probably for the next couple weeks due to being unable to talk because of surgery, so he will be out.
Rip.
But it'll probably be kind of slow over the next couple weeks anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's not even much to talk about now. No, I don't think there was any big new releases, but we did get the announcement this week that PlayStation Hits will be coming to stores. And this, of course, is just like the greatest hits from PS1, PS2, and I think PS3 had greatest hits, PS3 hits or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So games like Bloodborne, Drive Club, Infamous Second Son, Killzone Shadowfall, Little Big Planet 3, Doom, Battlefield 4, Uncharted 4, Last of Us, Ratchet and Clank, Project Cars, Yakuza 0, another Yakuza, MGS5, Street Fighter, something like that. So they're $20 at retail. Now, a lot of those games obviously are pretty cheap digitally, but the retail prices pretty much never matched them. Unless like a GameStop decided to discount it on their own. But there was no parity necessarily between the two. And a lot of these games are always usually on sale. Like Battlefield 4 is always on sale, and Tealu always gets a sale, and so does Infamous. So now it's like, okay, we'll just make it permanent on the physical side. So it's good to see. When will they be available? Beginning June 28th. So it'll be...
What a weird date.
Yeah, that is kind of... What was that?
It's like a Thursday of the last week of the month. Like, why not just...
Yeah,
why not just wait till the beginning of the next month?
I guess, yeah, why would you start at the end of the quarter? That's kind of odd, too. But, yep, so it's good to just, I mean, Uncharted 4, it's like, that game's been on sale for, like, $5. Sometimes, like, PlayStation sales are, like, even less, so I feel like you can still probably get better deals on the PSN. I think there's even a sale going on right now. Let me go look at it real quick. I know they just did a sale, but I think there's another one that's going on, a flash sale. Let's see here. Yep, ends on 6/25. Doom's on there, up to 70% off. Unfortunately, if I click on it, I won't be able to see all them. But like, yeah, Doom's like right now, you get Doom for $15. But normally it would be $30 digitally. But yeah, $15. So it's like that's better than the. That did the physical one come the 28th. Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition's $10. I'd say definitely pick that up, especially with 2 coming out at the end of August. Divinity Original Sin was a really fun game. I'm trying to see if any of these are also games that are... Assassin's Creed Triple Pack. Interesting. It's Black Flag, Unity, and Syndicate for $36. That's interesting.
It's a weird series of games to pack together, but I guess it's like
it's the three
the
that
first
released.
Three that were on this gen.
Yeah. Yeah, there's those. Yeah, no big standouts on this flash sale. Little Nightmares is on sale. Not a lot of Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, I think, is like $6. I don't know. I can't see it because, of course, I own it. Alien Isolation is on sale. I feel like that's always on sale. And then, Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition is on sale. That'd be kind of fun to replay. But, yeah, a bunch of stuff. DMC, Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition. But, yeah. Let's see what else we got. The release date for the Life is Strange 2 prequel, The Awesome Adventure of Captain Spirit, gets release date. That'll be June 25th in North America and June 26th in Australia. That North America one's also for Europe as well.
Dang, that's soon.
And I think the first episode of the Life is Strange 2 is also going to be in the beginning of September. Sometime in September is the first episode. But yeah, other than that, there is not a whole lot of news. A lot of just E3 talk and people talking about, you know, their impressions of Cyberpunk and yada yada, Fortnite on Switch and all this stuff. Not, yeah, nothing, nothing crazy.
Trying to see a lot of like any recap articles pretty much from everybody that I've seen.
Yeah. Like tournaments for Dragon Ball FighterZ that get announced. But nothing comparisons of Resident Evil 2 versus the remake. I guess the Bloodstained demo got pushed back a week. The Ritual of the Night demo, I guess it was supposed to come out earlier but got delayed to June 28th. So although I'll probably just skip the demo because I'll play the game when it comes out. yeah,
I'm getting as many demos as I can because we're getting ready to hunker down into no spending mode. Yeah. So I'm just like loading up on all the demos I can get on my DS, on the Switch, on the PlayStation. Just like give me all the demos because I'm not going to be able to buy a game next month.
Yeah, right. Like I said, you got Fortnite on the Switch. At least that's a free game.
Yeah.
Play that. Let's see. Not much else. I know Fortnite did get an update this week. Added a new weapon. Teases going on for what could potentially happen in Season 5. Season 4, of course, had the meteor in the sky, and then it crashed down at the start, or into Season 4. Started with that tease of the meteor. Now there's a tease of a missile in the villain base on the left side of the map. All the TVs are broadcasting a skull, so we're curious what's going to happen there.
I haven't played that all week. I guess I should like actually play it every once in a while and build up on it.
Yeah. They keep patching out the shopping carts because people keep using them to get underneath the map. So like, they bring them back and then they find out it didn't work and they have to take them out again. Even though they have these ramps all over the map that they added, it's like, well, they're pointless now. But they also announced how they kind of want to change the endgame meta to not be so much just a build-off.
I saw that.
With explosives. And it's like, I don't think they'll nerf it. They'll just add more options. Like, I feel like with the stink bomb that they added this week was a great weapon. Because, like, originally, to counter the build meta, they introduced the minigun. But it leaves you kind of vulnerable. It doesn't have that high of a damage output. They did patch it a little bit more, but it's kind of like to counter the building, you have this this weapon. But then they nerfed the amount of explosive rounds you can carry for the grenade launcher. So it wouldn't be nothing but grenade launcher spam at the end of the game. So you can only carry 12 additional rounds. So the 6 that are in it plus 12, I believe, is what it is. And then they did buff the C4, because C4 was super weak for a long time. It was pointless. And then they super buffed it. But yeah, then adding the smoke bomb, or the stink bomb, is great, because it's a lot of damage over time, and it is very much a deterrent for people who are held up in like the little fort. And I love the weapon, and you can carry 5 of them. They are in stacks of 3 in the map, and they're really good. Obviously, it's, you know, it can be situational, but every time I've had them, I've used them to great effect. And I really like it. It's a great counter to the build meta. It's just like, oh, you want to be able to go, okay, well, I'm gonna throw all these and kind of zone you out of your fort. but yeah, we'll see what happens. I'd be curious how they, whatever they do, like, I don't think they should nerf too much of materials because building is kind of a big component of the game, but yeah. Just I guess adding more options, maybe, because I always thought it was weird when I see people getting like a build off, because when I first started playing Fortnite, and whenever someone, granted, no one was really on consoles, was super sophisticated with the building, and then later they added in the Builder Pro controller set, which allows for much faster builds. But anytime I faced off against someone and they would just build up all crazy, but like, I'm just gonna destroy your base, and I just destroy, like, typically they always either, especially if they start with a ramp and they have no bottom structure, so I destroy this one piece, your whole thing comes down. And like, that's what I would always do, is like, all right, well, I'm just gonna blow this up because I'm not gonna get into build off with you. And that was how I handled things. But yeah, we'll see what they do. A lot of people start freaking out, but it's like, it'll be fine. Usually if they ever change something that's too drastic, the vocal, I guess at this point, kind of majority, not minority, will be all about, like, especially when they were trying to nerf double pumping, and they applied a weapon delay switch between all the heavy weapons, and then eventually people didn't like it, so then they rolled it back on all the weapons except the pump shotguns, where there's still slight delay. But the delay is not there for tactical shotguns or really the heavy shotguns. So the heavy shotguns now are better, and they kind of lowered the damage of the tactical and the pump for, I think, a headshot multipliers. So now the heavy shotgun is actually the better shotgun, which, like, it should be. But yeah, other than that, I don't see much else in the way of news. It's like, again, not a whole lot.
I haven't been super paying attention, so.
Yeah.
Played a lot of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, well, yeah, I saw you playing a lot of Lost Sphere.
Yeah, I got, that was the game that I finally decided on to get for my Switch. I got Lost Sphere. It's like the spiritual successor or whatever to I Am Setsuna. It's made by the same company.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking fun, but it's got these, like, at least two that I've encountered so far, like, massive difficulty spikes. Like, it's just a little fucking ridiculous, especially for somebody like me who constantly wanders away from the story anyway and explores places I'm not supposed to explore, and I'm, like, over-leveled. And so it's like, I'm over-leveled, so I clear in the story area that I'm supposed to be doing really easily, and the boss isn't too bad. Maybe one of my characters would die or have a little bit of difficulty, like, figuring out the trick to their mechanics or something like that. But overall, not really, like, a huge problem. I even thought about, like, upping the difficulty because a lot of stuff was too easy. And then I get to this one battle, and it's just like, oh, I've one-shot your entire party, and I was like, oh, well, this is a story battle, so I guess that was supposed to happen. And then it's like, game over, try again. Oh, okay.
That's funny.
So it's like, that's twice that it's happened now, where it's just like, it's this particular character that I guess is, I get it, he's supposed to be, like, super freaking strong or whatever, but make that point by having him one-shot my entire party pretty much in one turn, and then, like, let me continue the story, not just give me game overs, because his ATB bar charges so fucking fast, I can't even get through, like, a round of commands before he attacks three of my characters. I'm just like, I'm gonna scream and throw my Switch out the window already. But other than that, it's really a fantastic game. The writing is kind of eh sometimes, but overall, it's super fucking fun. And it's like just exactly what I needed right now. I'm so burned out on, like, the big, like, grand action adventure, open world kind of RPG element things, where it's just like 20 minutes into the game, it gives you this gigantic map to go explore and go do all the things. It's like, I feel like I've played 20 of those in the last, like, year of me actually having money to buy and play games. So it's like, I just needed, like, a mostly straightforward, like, mostly turn-based RPG with adorable characters and little mech suits and very anime little characters. It's just nice and refreshing.
That was one of those games made by, it's published by Square, right?
Yes, it is. It's made by RPG Factory.
Yeah, it's like they're supposed to be, the idea is to pump out sort of like, not AA, but like quality, smaller RPGs kind of idea or something like that. Like, not like a 70-hour kind of thing, but like a good quality, I guess 20, maybe 30-hour, I don't know how long Lost Sphere is, but.
A lot of the reviews I kind of read going into it, because I was really deciding between I Am Setsuna and Lost Sphere, and it's the same company. They're published by the same publisher, and it's just like, one's just the newer one. And a lot of people were saying I Am Setsuna is just really like an emotional downer. I was just like, I can't have that right now. I need to, like, keep myself like happy and active so that I want to pack all my things and kind of get things done. So it's just like I decided on Lost Sphere, but yeah, it's they said it's about 20-ish hours for the story, and then there's like some side stuff you can do that can add on to the time. So
yeah, I think because it got pretty like it got good reviews, like about mid sevens, I think an 8 maybe from somewhere when it came out, but like I think I saw some of the criticisms, like maybe the combat wasn't as, like you said, the story was kind of like, they said it was okay, but I think the combat, they said eventually, I don't know if it was something about the combat, like either it wasn't as deep as they wanted or something. I can't remember what exactly it was.
A lot of the stuff I said is kind of the same thing that people had with I Am Setsuna, is that there's a lot of customization and like options and stuff you could do with the way that the combat is set. So you can, you get these skill slots and then you can buy like separate skills, but you always have more skills than you have slots. So you can always choose what skills you want certain characters to have. And they can only have, you know, each character has its own like pool of skills. And then you just kind of pull from that pool and customize it. And then there's like bonuses you can add onto those skills as well. So there's a lot of like finagling and customization you can do, which is really cool. But the same thing I think a lot of people said with I Am Setsuna is it gets to the point in the game where you can just absolutely overpower your characters, and then there's like it kind of discourages like the experimenting and all of these other combinations you can do, because you find a set of skills and bonuses and party members that just like obliterate everything at a certain point. So it kind of like stagnates the battles at a certain point. But I mean, it's up to preference too. Because if I found something that's like obliterating everything, I'd be like, well, what other thing can I find to obliterate things? And that's like, you can start kind of moving things around and using new skills and stuff. And I use a lot of the like, I'm not very far into it, but I'm already at the point where I have a good choice of like just kind of pure damage skills, and then I have like buff and debuff skills. So I have a character that's already built specifically for debuffing stuff, and then I have a character that's specifically for like healing the party and defending the party and stuff like that. So you can like shoehorn them into these roles if you want to, but they also have just like pure damage skills. So if you wanted to make that same defense character just a DPS character, you could do that too. So I think that's really cool about it. You can like make your own classes out of the skills that the characters kind of have in their little skill pool thing.
Yeah, because one of the games I was looking at was kind of interesting, because it's also a lower price title, isn't it, like a 30-40 or something like that?
Yeah, and it's actually, oh shit, I got it on sale on the Switch. It was like half off, I think I paid maybe like 15, 20 bucks for it or something like that. Maybe $24. But I don't know if that sale is still going, and I don't know if that's on all systems, because I think it was part of the like Nintendo E3 sale thing that ended yesterday or Thursday or something like that. But I think it's absolutely worth its like full price tag if you're really looking for like an RPG with like a kind of Chrono Trigger like ATB combination attack element to it. I think it's worth it. So
yeah, I forget what else came out at the time, but for whatever reason I didn't pick it up. But I was interested because I was kind of like wanted a lighter RPG at the time, but I must have ended up playing something else.
Yeah, I think eventually I will get I Am Setsuna, I think I Am Setsuna was on sale too, but I think I'm going to wait till it goes on sale again and then I'll get it. I just, a lot of the reviews I was reading between I Am Setsuna and Lost Sphere was like, Setsuna is very like somber and kind of like downer story, and it's very like melancholy, and I was just like, I can't have that in my life right now. I need something like sort of lighthearted and sort of like the story's there and it's interesting, but it's not like drama. It's just like I just want to play an RPG and get kind of invested in what's going on, but I mostly just want to like attack things in a turn-based manner.
Yeah. Man, there's a one bit of news I wasn't going to talk about because at the time I think it was just like reported by TMZ, so everybody sourced TMZ, but there was a confirmation of that Bethesda is suing Warner Brothers. And it was I saw an update that it was confirmed by Bethesda, confirmed to GameSpot that it did file a suit against Warner. So now that it's official and not just a rumor. So basically this is a quote, this is from Bethesda statement saying, "The case arises from Behavior's development of a Westworld mobile game for Warner Brothers. Behavior had previously worked with Bethesda to develop Bethesda's hit game Fallout Shelter, and under that contract, Bethesda alone owned all resulting intellectual property, including the game's copyrighted code. Behavior illegally used the same copyrighted source code from Fallout Shelter to develop Westworld, and copied Fallout Shelter's game design, art, animations, gameplay features, and other elements. As a result of Behavior and Warner Brothers' unlawful conduct, Westworld is a blatant ripoff of Fallout Shelter with largely superficial cosmetic changes." And they said some more writings out there. So now when I first heard about the rumor, I thought it was dumb. But if the source code is exactly the same and that's copyrighted, that I can see being the biggest issue. But the game is in no way, mechanically, the way it plays out, like Fallout Shelter. I played a bunch of the Westworld game, and I played a shit ton of Fallout Shelter. And like, Fallout Shelter is very basic gameplay-wise. There's not much to it. Once you get a certain number of people, it's like, you're done. There's no need to play it. The addition of quests is good, but there's not much there. There's a lot more to do in the Westworld game that you don't do in Fallout Shelter. And sure, like, maybe the art doesn't look exactly the same, and I guess they say the animations, but it's so basic. It's like, I don't understand how you would, even if it wasn't the same animations, like, how you would change it to not look like a 2D character walking. Like, I don't understand. Now, there is a function in the game that is very similar to Fallout Shelter, where how Fallout Shelter, when you construct a new room, you're basically building the vault down into the ground. And in the case of Westworld, the park is above ground and the Delos facility is below ground, all the admin offices. So as you add new places, like, you know, the behavioral or the like certain other aspects, you have to choose where within a designated area underground you would build. So it's like, oh, where do you want to build? It's like, I'll build here. So that's kind of similar, but the way you play the game is totally different to Fallout Shelter. It's a better game than Fallout Shelter, because like, you're managing these hosts, you make hosts, you fill the park with attractions. Each attraction needs a specific host to interact with, like the bar at level one, or the saloon. By default, it holds three people, and they all want to gamble. So you need hosts that have the gambling trait. And then as they interact with the guests, they'll level up and get, you know, get higher level. So it's like, oh, there's a leveling mechanic, just like in Fallout Shelter. It's like, whatever. But you're making them interact with another element, whereas in Fallout Shelter, you just drag people to different rooms to produce resources. They don't do anything. So then they do this. The interaction's on a time limit. As you finish, you get more coins and other stuff to be able to purchase certain things. And as you expand, you need hosts that have other things. So you can level up the saloon, and then it becomes, okay, now there's gambling, and then there's, I forget what they call it, like there's the romance stuff is an option. So now if you have two guests that want to gamble and one guest that wants romance, then you have to choose that. And the third level is someone wants to they want to brawl in the bar. So you need a host that will brawl with the guest. But of course, you slowly have to unlock these new hosts. You don't get them by default. You have to do either, you do quests, like a little, or like they're like rewards for doing tasks, like, okay, do this, do that, and it'll give you XP and stuff. But there's so much more to do. And then the hosts can, if they get used too much, they can have a chance to break down and glitch. So then you have to send them down to behavioral, and they have to diagnose the host. So the host is pulled off the floor. So if you have one that's super high level and you have high level guests at the park, you can't have a low level host interact with them because they'll get unhappy. So the happiness of the park will go down, and then that host won't get much XP. Mm-hmm. So it's like this, a lot of this stuff going on. And then there's way more mechanically to do in Westworld than the Fallout game. But because the code's the same, I can see why they'd be mad. But the idea that it's just a blatant ripoff gameplay-wise, I think is dumb. But whatever.
I mean, there's shit like that all the time, especially on the Android, like, app store, as far as, like, mobile games go, where it's like, these games are obviously the same source code, and they've just, like, these other places have just kind of added things to them to make them different, quote unquote. But it's like, I saw a thing on Twitter that was like, the most Bethesda thing is they noticed that it was their source code because it has the same bugs in it as their original launch did.
That was pretty funny. Like, whatchamacallit came out, Fallout Shelter, people were like, oh, when they described it, what it like, what's the game like? Oh, it's like Tiny Towers, which is a very similar style of game. And it's like that's just that gameplay. It's that genre of game. It's that, I guess, you know, management sim mm-hmm. that you do. But it's like, whatever. Because I think it's a really fun game, the Westworld game. But the only problem I do have with it is that there's a lot going on at one time. Because, like, interactions with certain things, like the gambling, only takes like a minute and a half. But that's enough if I'm actively playing it to be like, oh, okay, three hosts are gambling with the guests. I'm going to try to do some other stuff. And then by the time I'm done checking on other things, I'm ready to turn in and collect the rewards for those hosts hanging out with those guests. But And I haven't run anything too crazy. Like, all of a sudden, everybody gets hit with a bunch of glitches. But so I haven't really gotten to, like, any endgame area. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious what will happen if it'll be one of those games that they pull from the store, and it'll end up being like a Flappy Bird, but
because you have it installed on your phone.
Yeah, I just won't get rid of it. It just won't get any updates.
Yeah,
but we'll see. Or maybe they'll do a rebuild of a different code version or something. I don't know, but
I get the lawsuit if it's like they copyrighted that code and it was built specifically with this, you know, developer, publisher, or whatever for this specific game, and then they like turn around and break contract and use it for something else not mm-hmm. associated with the original developer. It's like, I get that, but just say that. Just say, like, they took our copyrighted contracted code and made a game with it, and they're not like giving us any kind of like royalties, or they didn't like pay for it or anything like that. They didn't pay for this other game to use the code. Don't just say like they ripped their game off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they made it different enough that it's just another fucking like sim defense, like town building mobile game. But go ahead and just say that you had a deal with this code and they went and broke it.
Right. Yeah. That's that's where they should have just stopped right there. It's like using our same code, but whatever.
Whatever makes them happy and get their money, I guess.
All right. at least the one thing I do like, though, is that at least it's a lawsuit that came out immediately. Because I'm always get kind of annoyed when I hear a lawsuit from something, but it's way later after something super successful. Like the Inside Out thing. It's like the second one against Inside Out, the first one. Or like, what was it? Something else. The Stranger Things. That was one after season two. Someone came out and said that they stole the Russo... Not Russo Brothers. The... I'm blanking on that guy's names. The brothers who did Stranger Things. They're like, oh, they ripped off my idea. Mm-hmm. It's like, you didn't see anything after season one? Like, it's always weird when it's like way later.
Yeah.
Like winning the lotto and then cousins coming out from the woodwork going, hey, it's me. it's like, just why not from the beginning? But but other than that, not much else.
Nope.
Nope. Yeah, I've been just replaying Fallout 4 in preparation for 76. And I did pre-order it, so I'm waiting for, curious when the beta is going to be. It is first on Xbox One, and then followed shortly by PC and PS4. I'm sure it'll just be like a week thing. Not much. And then I so we'll see.
I guess like a stress test thing, or I guess they just have exclusivity with Xbox or something, but
Yeah, I guess, but it's like it's a beta. It's like, why would you want it? I mean, I think
I know, right?
PlayStation did have the exclusive alpha for Destiny when that originally came out, but that wasn't too much longer before the beta for Destiny. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the game. I'm having fun playing Fallout 4. Man, I had the most ridiculous, like, escort quest fuck ups. I was like, I had a it was okay. So it was I joined the Brotherhood, as you do, because you join everybody just to do the quests. And it's one of these side quests where it's like a scientist guy's like, hey, I need you to take a initiate, go check out this place, and then report back. I'm like, all right, I go do that. So then I get my suit of armor, and I jump off the Pridwin, because jumping off in the power armor is great, because then you just go straight down the ground. There's no loading. Go talk to the initiate. Like, all right, let's go someplace. I have a point of interest I've been to right by it. Go to it. Nobody's there. It's empty. It's the mayor's house. Get there, done. Then once we're done there, all of a sudden the whole place gets attacked by synths who are tracking us. So then I fight all these synths. Easy. Done. And then I find this little shortcut kind of back entrance way to something. I'm like, oh, I want to go explore this direction. But then while I do that, NPC doesn't follow me. She's like, what's that noise? And then all of a sudden I hear her get in a fight with a bunch of synths. I'm like, uh-oh. And then I hear like, and then I'm like, no. So I run up, I kill all these synths, and like I'm looking around, and there's like, I'm using a laser rifle, so there's like red ash pile, red ash pile, red ash pile, blue ash pile. I'm like, no. I go up to the blue ash pile and it's like initiate dog tags. I'm like, fucking damn it. Go up to the dude, tell him, he's like, hey, how'd it go? I'm like, yeah, the initiate died. And he goes, well, that's no good. I still get XP and caps, not a
That's
lot.
no good.
But I'm like, well, if I get caps and XP for failing, I was like, I wonder how much I get it for their life. So I'm like, okay, let's do another one. He's like, all right, go talk to the initiate. I'm like, all right, go to the initiate. And they're like, okay, you got to go here. I'm like, that's pretty far. And like, it's a place down south I hadn't been, because I'd barely been to the south of the map. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna have to go. We're gonna have to take a walk. So then I fast travel to Diamond City, sell some stuff from all the synth loot. Fast travel back out. The alien ship crash land event happens. So I look up at the sky, it goes by, crash down. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. I'll go get that gun later. And I look around, I'm like, where the hell's the NPC? And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. The NPC's not here. I'm like, that's weird. So NPC's just not there. Didn't load. Maybe it was the mod, the springtime mod I have in, or the alien event messed them up. So now I quick load back to Diamond City because I saved right before I left. Fast travel to the best location I can. NPC follows me. Great. Start walking down the road. I'm like, okay, it's basically a straight shot on this road if I just follow this road down. There's a couple of super mutants. And so we fight them, kill them, no problem. And then we go up a ways further, and then I forget what happens, but somehow we get in a fight, he dies. Don't remember how. I'm like, all right, let's go back. Quick load,
Well, rip.
jump out, alien goes crash, flies over my head. NPC's there, quick save outside there, so I don't have to go back to Diamond City. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna go that way. Now, if I look, I see there's a parallel road to the left. I'm like, okay, we'll go that way. So we go left, go down the road. There's like a couple raiders, kill them. And then we go down, and I start to get this big, complex area. It's like crossroads, and there's a bunch of facilities, and we're close to the one we need to go to. I'm like, oh, I should go ping these because that way I can fast travel them to it later. But then I realized there's a bunch of super mutants. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to fight these guys right now. I need this dude to survive. But I guess the guy has, like, the longest aggro range ever because he's a Brotherhood of Steel guy. And he's like, I fucking hate super mutants. So then he starts shooting at these super mutants. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. I mean, I can kill them fast enough. Then all of a sudden I hear a beep, 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 beep. And it's one of the super mutants that is a suicide bomber. And they've got, like, his nuclear bombs in their arm. And I'm like, no! I go into Vats. I see the guy he's running. He's getting pretty close. I shoot the arm. He blows up. The dude is barely on the edge of the blast radius. And I'm like, he lives. I'm like, oh, thank God. And all of a sudden, doot, 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 doot. I'm like, fuck. And I have no more Vat points. And I just watch this second bomber just bum rush the goddamn Brotherhood of Steel and his shit. Blows him up. I'm like, motherfucker. Reload. Go back down the left side of the road. Completely avoid the mutants. I'm like, okay, I'm going further left. Go around, quick saving like every 10 seconds in case there's like some random fucking landmine dude steps on. Get to the building, raiders outside, kill all the raiders, no problem. Get inside. I'm taking it super careful. There's a big old front lobby of this building. Kill all the raiders because I'm a power armor, so I'm just like tanking all these shots. Good. Like, we're safe. So we're going around. I'm looting some people, looking around. And then I get to this door, and I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, it's locked. I'm like, oh, that means there's loot behind there. So I pick the lock. I'm like, sweet. Open the door, trips a wire. All of a sudden, a stack of grenades falls to the floor. I'm like, oh, shit. I jump back. Fucking initiate's like, do-do-do-do. What's over here? Ooh, walks treasure. Right on top of the grenades. Blows up. I'm like, motherfucker. I reload. Had the entire fight with the Raiders again because I didn't quick save. And then I go back and it's just like, oh, man, it was like, just, he kept dying. Luckily, he didn't die anymore after that. And I was at a point where we finished the quest, but I didn't finish clearing out the building. And I kept wanting to go and clear it out and get done. But I'm like, nah, because he's going to fucking die or something. And I'm going to be so mad. But it was just like this, I wish I was recording just so I can make a montage of just him fucking dying. I'm like, oh my God. I was so obnoxious. I was like, ugh. This fucking NPC.
Oh, but Bethesda NPCs. Always walking on grenades.
Yeah, fucking like, dude, there's step away from the grenades. Oh, just limbs and everywhere. but yeah, it's fun replaying. I thought about going kind of like try to be more, I guess, evil with the character with my dialogue choices, but I just didn't do that and just basically hit X, and which is always the good option. But yeah, that's all I've been playing, that and Fortnite. Not much else. But yeah. All right, well, I tried to look for any other, see if I can find any other news items. I saw that Hollow Knight reviewed really well. Not that that's on a PS4, that's on a PC and Switch, but
I almost got that, and I almost kind of regret it, but I feel like it would make me too angry right now. I'm definitely going to get it at some point, though. It looks adorable.
Yeah, I got a 9.4 from IGN.
I want to play as the cute little beetle guy.
Metroidvania. But I did see an article how apparently Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice is supposed to be harder than Bloodborne. I don't know what that means, because it's like, Bloodborne, I guess, was hard when you can't level at the beginning because you have to get to the boss first. So that can be difficult. That was always like the gauntlet, is just surviving the beginning. But then later it just comes down to which boss is difficult for you, because that's always changes for everybody. So it's interesting that they say it's more difficult than Bloodborne. I'm like, well, Bloodborne wasn't too difficult, but I don't know.
I mean, if I can speed solo most of Bloodborne, it's probably manageable for everybody else for the most part.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, guess that'll do it for this episode of the podcast. And wasn't much news to talk about, and I haven't played anything new. So you're the only one who played something new that no one else has.
And I'm not that far into it.
Yeah, I have the Far Cry 5 DLC, the Vietnam one, which I played about half of. It's pretty fun. But I haven't finished it, and I haven't played much of anything else. Still haven't finished Curse of the Moon. And I played a little bit of Far Cry 3 Classic. But I did go through and watch a bunch of videos on the different outcomes in Detroit Become Human, which is fun to watch.
Ooh, I should do that.
But
because I've been watching a couple Let's Plays, but they've been kind of mostly going down the same paths. So I mm-hmm. want to see all the other stuff.
Yeah, I watched one person do a Let's Play video, and he did make some choices that were different than mine. So I got to see some alternatives up. And then he like made a huge mistake at one part, and I'm like, oh, but it's like near the end. I'm like, well, you messed up. He got the same ending for Kara that I did, but he messed up like big time on one decision for something. But he hit the wrong button. But he didn't load a save. But yeah, watch it. I think there's like one guy on YouTube. I forget his name, but he pops up my recommended all the time. That he always looks through and redoes every option for things, especially when he sees like a 0% on the global stats for something. He'll go see like, no one's gotten this. Okay, how do we get this? And he'll go back and figure it out and show all different versions of his cutscenes. But it's pretty interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, Zai, for joining.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.